Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Right Now Weekly Radio Show, hosted by Vicki Winterton, founder of Expert Insights Publishing, home of best-selling books, award-winning magazines, global broadcasts and communities. Right Now is a highly educational, inspiring, and empowering show focused on writing, publishing, and marketing your books, featuring outstanding guests from across the globe, including best-selling authors, world stage speakers, thought leaders, and visionaries with proven strategies, secret formulas, and treasured resources to help you succeed and make an impact. Welcome, sit back, and enjoy the show. And now your host, Vicki Winterton.
Hi, this is Vicki Winterton, and I'm thrilled because today I have with me Heidi Quimbley. Heidi is the author of The Wedge Between Us. She has written a story about her life and the struggles she has encountered. Growing up in a dysfunctional family did not give her the best chance to be a successful individual, especially as she's turned out to be. Heidi has filled the early pages of her book with stories of hardship, challenges, and grief that she endured, and has written a remarkable story that focuses on overcoming obstacles, never giving up, and finding out how to believe in yourself. In shifting her thinking and opening up to higher power, Heidi has moved on to create the harmony and bliss that exists in her life today. She has an inspiring, motivational story that will pull at your heartstrings. She's done so many things. She has a wonderful family. She's also very active in the bodybuilding community, and I'm so excited to have you here. Heidi, welcome.
Thank you, Vicki. I'm so happy to be here.
So tell us a little bit about how you came to your passions and purpose that you experience in life today.
Oh, my goodness. That's a bold question. Thank you for asking. I think the wedge between us is something that's kind of lived within me ever since I was a little child, which this is a story about my life. It's a memoir. It's recollecting everything that had served to shape me and really just it made me who I am today. It does begin with a not-so-magical childhood. It's filled with a lot of despair, poverty, dysfunction, hardship, challenges, a lot of the things that you just talked about, and a complete and utter lack of faith. My parents divorced when I was little, and my father passed away, and I just became more defiant than probably what I already was before that. It just turns out that I got going into drugs and alcohol, trying to ease that pain, you know, just kind of make it go away. And from there, I just got on this path to self-destruct, and, you know, one thing led to another, and got into bad relationships, this, that, and the other. You know, and then one day I had a child, and that changed my life. And, you know, through becoming a mom, it's just been an incredible experience for me. I learned to love in a way that I never knew I could or even had capacity to. I had a very, give all, kind of take nothing attitude with them, took the back seat. I ended up going on to marry not the greatest guy in the world. He was not real good to me in a lot of different ways. But from that, I went on to get educated. I began reading, Vicki, through the power of reading. That's where I really found myself in all of this. I learned some hard lessons along the way. I struggled. I learned. I challenged, developed, and enlisted help. I became who I saw myself being instead of who I was, you know, based on what I used to be or where I came from. So I went on to, just divorce. I'm not very proud of that. But then I turned around and went to college, and I got more educated and remarried the most wonderful man that I'm married to today, and life is really good.
Well, that is fantastic. And in addition to having a wonderful family life, and all of the things that you've learned that you're sharing in your book, which we'll talk about in just a minute, you also got into bodybuilding. Tell us a little bit about that. And you're not just into it as a hobby. You are a major champion bodybuilder. I'd love to hear more about that.
Yeah, I wish I would have found it about 20 years ago, but being that I haven't, I found bodybuilding about 3 years ago. Part of my personality, I guess, is just I work with everything I have, all of my heart. I leave it all out there, and bodybuilding was a perfect fit for me. When I started getting into it, I didn't really see myself as a competitor. I just wanted to be in, you know, good shape. I ended up looking at competitions and kind of took some inspiration from a friend that thought, you know, hey, wow, you got a pretty good physique. You know, you might do well. I mean, you should look at what these other women look like because, you know, you're holding your own and you're not even, like, training. With a little training, you could really do something. And so I listened and kind of checked it out, got my feet wet, and went to my very first show, which was the National Gym Association, placed third the first show, did a few more shows after that with the intent that I was coming back to take that first place. I wanted it. And so in May of 2013, I graced the stage and I took my pro title. And so now I am an NGA pro figure athlete. And I'm pretty proud of that. It's an amazing experience, and it served for so many purposes, just giving me the discipline and structure and the regiment and everything that, you know, that I have in my life today. The underpinning, you know, the bodybuilding has just really come into fold with all of that, and it's just a great fit for me.
Yeah, that is so fantastic. And, of course, we have met, and you are just amazing to look at, really amazing to look
at.
Thank
you. I'm blushing even though you can't see me.
even though you have this unbelievable exterior, it's only profoundly less than how beautiful you are inside as a person. So I'm just so thrilled that you were able to join us today and talk about your book. So tell us a little bit about what prompted you to write your book.
Well, I really just started thinking about this, you know, a lot within the last 5 years probably of my life, but it's always kind of lived inside of me because I knew that there was a better way from the time I was a teenager getting lost in the drugs and the alcohol and the bad relationship and all of that stuff happening to me. I knew there was a better way than this. It just took me a little while to find it. But now that I'm here and the book has now been born, so to speak, it's really about giving something back to somebody else. If there would have been some gal in my life like me that could have just came and said, hey, you know what? You're worthy just because you're a child of God. You have a birthright of being worthy. You don't have to prove that to anybody. You don't have to work at earning that from anybody. You're just a pretty great person just because you're a person. And if I had somebody in my life like that, my road to hoe might have been a little different. And I hope that I serve as an example through my writings and the pain and everything I went through to maybe some other gal out there who's hurting and really just needs that support and knows, hey, I can do this too. You know, Heidi Gauthier Quimby did it.
That's so wonderful. So, Heidi, in your book, and it's a wonderful book, we're very excited to help you with the publishing of that book as well as moving that book to bestseller. And I'd love for you to share with us a little bit about some of the challenges you had with writing it, because so much of it really describes the dysfunction that you experienced within your family.
Well, that's a great question because I've gone back and of course, you know, in the writing process, you write and you read and then you write and you rewrite and you fix and you just do so many revisions that you, I think almost at the end of it all, you kind of start getting tired of reading your own book, if that can even happen. But what happened when I would do that was I would be writing along and writing about these scenarios. And for me, Vicki, they were in color. They were very real. They were brought back to life. And I say that just with the sense that in a couple of the instances, my dad has been passed now for over 35 years. And in some of these instances, it was as if I brought him back to life in the scenario. And it just conjured up all of those, you know, really deep-seated feelings that I've had for a long time in my life and just made them real. And, it, you know, it would get to the part where I would become very emotional. when I would be writing through some of this stuff. So from a therapeutic sense, I didn't know this was going to happen, but as I progressed through the book, it started lifting some of this stuff off of me. Like, I don't have to be burdened with this stuff anymore. And this stuff is okay to just let it out and let it go and accept it for what it was and feel the hurt, and that's okay because I'm going to move to a better place now. So that's really, you know, as I kind of wrote through, and that's where I found myself. It was great. It was freeing.
Wow. So in the reality, what do you think was the thing that triggered you to really change your life? Because you had all this hurt and you had all this self-destruction going on. What was it that really triggered you to make a change?
Well, you know, it started with the fact that I wanted to help one other gal, one other individual in this world that could take a benefit from what I've been through and find out that, hey, you know what, there's a better way than the way that you're going, because you can be something even when you've come from nothing, because I'm living proof of it. But the other thing that happened was when I turned 40 that year, oh my gosh, that's a year, right, when you turn 40. I started having a different perspective on life altogether, I think, as I neared, you know, 40. But once I turned it, not that it was a crazy time for me or I didn't embrace my 40th birthday. I enjoyed it. I love all my birthdays. I'm still 17 from the neck up, so that ain't never going to change. But what happened was, I said earlier, my dad passed away over 35 years ago. 1979, he was a 41-year-old man when he passed. Well, hey, I'm the youngest of five kids, and now I'm turning 41, the last in line to turn the age that dad was when he passed. So, you know, it was a huge thing for me that I thought, wow, when I was a little kid, 41 seemed like ancient. And now today, because I was, you know, approaching 40, I was thinking, totally different. Wow, what a young man he was to have lost his life from drugs, well, basically cigarette smoking and alcohol. He had cirrhosis of the liver and emphysema, and it was really a battle of which one was going to get him first. And he died of emphysema because he didn't have lung capacity, the ability to breathe. And I thought, you know what, this is ridiculous. I need to send him a message. If there really are holes in the floor of heaven, if he's looking down at me, I'm going to show him that if you make better choices with your life and you live healthier, you can be around for a lot longer than 41 years of age, because I'm going to show you how it's done. And that's what I hoped when I graced the stage at 41 years old. That February, I turned 41 in 2010. I was turning 41 in February. I graced the stage 2011, my first show at 41 years of age. And I remember in the midst of it looking up as if to say, hey, Dad, if you're looking, if you're hearing, this is what you can do if you live a healthier, happier life, making better choices.
Wow. That is powerful, Heidi. So powerful. So tell me a little bit about what it took to actually write the book, you know, the process of writing it, because this is really your first book. And of course, as we talked about, it really covered a lot of very personal information to you that you had to address. So how did you develop the discipline to finish the book?
Well, interestingly enough, I started the book before I fell in love with bodybuilding, and I literally shelved it, no pun intended. I kind of went away from it because I had found something else that took precedence, you know, and it was that I was really determined that I was going to get on that stage 41. So it was like, do I have time to finish the book, or do I, you know, train and get myself on that stage for 41 years old, because I'm only going to be that one time. And so, you know, there was a sense of urgency there for me with the bodybuilding. So I literally shelved the book. You know, what happened was, after 3 years winning my pro title, I became injured. I had a very, not so much a game changer, but possibly a game ender that I'm still fighting now, with a torn rotator cuff. I took a couple of tendons and tore them off my humerus head of my shoulder, which it wasn't really that funny. It's hurt so bad, and it's been a long, grueling process. But coming back from that, it gave me the time on my hands that I couldn't lift, so to speak, to pick up the pen because the pen doesn't weigh that much. And I just got busy writing. And I think it was maybe a message from the Lord in my life that, hey, you need to take a break from this because you got to finish this book. There are people out there that are going to benefit from knowing what you've been through, and they're going to take the life lessons, and they're going to, you know, just be inspired and motivated, you know, from the hardships that you've been through. You have a message, you have a story, and you need to share it. And so that's where I was at. And I picked up the pen and I started, you know, just writing and getting this thing finished up.
Wow. Incredible. Did you write like every day? Did you discipline yourself to a certain time, or was it just whenever the mood struck you?
I went to the local Collegeville diner, just not too far down from my house. It's a very quaint little spot where the food is not expensive and they have every stinking thing that you can possibly think of asking for on a menu. They're real down to earth, you know, just kind of gave me that feeling of being back home where things were simple. And so I took up a booth in the back, which when I go there, they know who I am. They call me by name. They tell me my booth is ready. And it's a great feeling because, you know, and just being intertwined in that group of people down there in that community and having that sense of, you know, they know me when I walk in. It was just an awesome feeling. And just having that time to sit in solitude by myself in the diner with a little background noise going on, but it was just, you know, the restaurant, and it was a peaceful place for me to sit. But I did take, you know, at least a 2-hour block daily if I could. I mean, life happened to me sometimes. I won't lie, I didn't get there every day because, you know, I have small children. But I did have to, you know, put it in the schedule, because if you don't write it down and you don't make time for it, it's not going to happen. And I know that if you want to do things, you got to make the time to do them, because they're not just going to happen on their own. And the important things, we make time for. So mm-hmm. I made time to be sure that I had that 2-hour window to at least get down there and do some writing. And, wow, sometimes I'd just get lost and go on and on and on, and I'd write thousands of words without realizing how much time has gone by. But that's what I am. I'm a writer, and I did not author the book as far as talking it in somebody else. I wrote the book myself, and it's just been a fantastic journey, and I can't wait to see what's coming up next.
I can't wait either. I really can't, Heidi. Now, if you were to look at what you hope the book would have as far as impact on the world, almost like leaving a legacy, you know, your life and your book, what would that look like for others out there in the world? What would you like to have that be?
Well, I think that, you know, my message is obviously that you can be something even when you've come from nothing. So don't, you know, be under the assumption that just because you don't have wealth in your background, or you don't have the best education, or you didn't have the best start, and you don't have all these connections and whatnot, that you can't do things. You know, those are just fears, and you just need to cast them out because they're not worth anything. I hope that people just learn through reading what I've gone through. Is really, it's about taking responsibility for your life, and don't blame that childhood or that upbringing or where you came from on who you are today, because it doesn't have anything to do with it. After you're 18 years of age, at least in my thinking, is I know your parents play a role in your life and they do a lot as far as shaping you and whatnot, but by the time you're an adult, it's time to take the reins and start taking responsibility for your life and driving this thing yourself, obviously with the help of our Lord. Just reflecting back on that life and seeing, you know, the things that worked and the things that didn't work. I found it was easy for me to look back and put that together with where I am, and that helped me to construct a path for where I'm going. I hope that people will get to the part where they learn to just accept, because you can't change it. What happened, just accept it and get ready to move forward. I think it's the next step in what's possible next when you learn to just accept the way things are. Stop living in it. Just accept it and be done with it and get ready to move on. and be of a forgiving heart. Oh, my goodness, that is like key. You have to have a forgiving heart. And don't forget to, you know, take away things, discard pieces that don't fit. But don't be afraid to, you know, put something in place of those old habits or those unwanted behaviors that you've had. And having an attitude of gratitude, just being thankful for everything that you have. Because I think the more thankful that you are for the things in your life, the more things that you'll have in your life to be thankful for. So I hope that people, you know, take those little tidbits and help, you know, them to live by them. Because it certainly helped reshape and remold my life in the direction that it's going in now. And I couldn't ask for a better life. I love my life.
Mm, that is so beautiful, Heidi. Thank you so much. I know that our listeners will probably want to connect with you. Is there some way they can do that? Is there a website or some way that they can connect?
Well, anybody that would like to email me, my email is peen, that's P as in Peter, E-A-N as in Nancy, the number 5 at AOL.com. peen5@AOL.com. And peen5 is my nickname as a child was Peanut, because I was little and I was the fifth child born to the Gauthier family, so hence peen5.
Oh, beautiful. Heidi, thank you so much for being with us and just sharing so sincerely about the book and about your life experience. I really appreciate your grace and authenticity.
Oh, thank you so much, Vicki. I appreciate you and everything that you've done for me and just having me on today and helping me to get my message out there and my story shared with everybody. That's huge for me. I appreciate you and Expert Insights and everything that you guys are doing for me, helping me to get published, and I'm very thankful for that. Thank you.
Thank you so much, and it's what we're all about. And for those of you out there who would like to learn more about Expert Insights Publishing, our best-selling books, award-winning magazines, our global broadcast and communities, you can find us at getei.com. That's GETEI.com. And have a fabulous week.